What we recommend, the very first thing you do when you get in this situation is make certain, one, you talk about this limited scope with your client so they understand that you're dealing with a limited scope, that you then take those steps to get a good grasp of what your client really trying to do in this space and what their intentions are, and explains the transaction to you in their words. And often, if there's a real estate broker involved, it may require getting that real estate broker involved as well to kind of help articulate that, because your client and that broker may have already spent considerable time together understanding some of the details relating to the space. But that to us was kind of a good starting point from the standpoint of teeing up the relation or the discussions with the client. Kent, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's right. I think, you know, one of the things that I struggle with all the time is various clients think different things are important. You know, I've got clients who really want to get deals done because they realize, you know, money trumps provisions in a contract, and they want to get the lease signed up so they can get the rent flowing or they can get into their space. And, you know, they don't care as much about some of the things that I care about. I have other clients who care a great deal. And so when somebody says, take a look at the high points, they mean different things. And another sort of complicating factor in all this is that, you know, as a lawyer, we're supposed to be looking down the road. I mean, I have a client that's going to hold the property, you know, the project for 15, 20 years. They don't really care about this kind of things that someone who's going to flip it or borrow against it cares about. And so I find myself a lot of times saying, look, to a client, I know you don't care about this right now, but if you ever look to sell or finance this, this is the kind of thing that buyers, lawyers, and lenders, lawyers are going to care about. And we need to, even if you don't think it's a big deal right now, we need to slow down and talk about this. And we'll get into some examples of that later. But the main thing, like Frank said, is figure out, you know, what's important to your client, what it is about this space that draws them to it, and try to find that balance between, you know, under-lawyering and over-lawyering. It's hard to do, but it's something we're all charged with every day.
And as part of a process of doing that, in my mind, I kind of break these things down into these eight categories, because it kind of helps clients put things in perspective as you start dealing with these issues. And, you know, keep in mind, a lot of these clients, we wake up every day and we're doing leases on a regular basis. This may be something they've done once every 10 years, once every 5 years, once every 15 years. And so they're not going to be as familiar with these concepts or even understand what to anticipate in connection with these transactions, to Kent's point. So the first one in that list is the economics of the deal. So this is the one that I think clients clearly do focus on. So they know about rent. They know about percentage rent. Additional rent, they may know about in concept, but they may not quite understand just how much meat is in that definition. You know, it always sounds like, well, these are just pass-through of operating costs. I mean, I can't tell you how many leases I'm dealing with these days where the OPEX is as much as the rent that's coming through. And it's getting even worse, I guess, as all these COVID issues are kind of hitting and possibly getting passed through. You've got insurance, taxes, and special costs that may relate to their particular use. And of course, there's the economics of the security deposit and how long the lease is going to last. So by and large, except for the OPEX, I think our clients are by and large going to be focused on this piece. In fact, this may be the only piece they focused on when they come to see you. We do talk about OPEX a lot when we're negotiating these leases. A client may just be asking, well, isn't that just the landlord passing through these operating expenses? When we start breaking them down, we start recognizing pretty quickly for our clients. And, you know, as it says here in the outline, I've seen these things three sentences long and I've seen them three pages long. And I think y'all have as well. You start taking a look at what the definitions of the common areas are that these OPEX expenses might relate to, what kind of deemed rent pass-throughs. And this is one that's showing up more and more these days with amenities in buildings, where they're saying, we're not passing through the expense for operating the gym. We're going to pretend like that is leased space that we're paying market rent for, and then we're going to pass through a deemed rent as part of OPEX. So it's kind of a new twist that's been showing up more and more these days. There's, of course, the time-honored discussion about CapEx costs, and when there's capital expenses that come through, how the landlord can pass those through to the tenants and under what set of circumstances for dealing. And often it's as expansive as even passing through those things that are clearly the landlord's responsibility, such as such as the foundation, the roof, and the walls. Whether or not you can audit those expenses for purposes of determining whether they're accurate or not, what time frames, what conditions are going to be placed on those. If there are mixed-use buildings, properties, which are more and more the case these days, is there some sort of special allocation that needs to be made between residential, retail, office? Because the OPEX relating to those various sectors may be quite different. And then, of course, there's casualty loss type pass-throughs, where often landlords these days are trying to pass through the deductibles that they might be paying, which really ties back into the whole CapEx type pass-through. Then there's use. And let me stop there. And after each one of these segments, I want to stop, Kent, and give you an opportunity to kind of jump in and share any additional thoughts you want to add.
You know, the one thing I would say is make sure that your client is looking apples to apples when they're comparing options for leases. I mean, if you've got a stated square foot rate of, you know, $35 a square foot, you know, and it's a completely net lease, and you've got one that's, you know, a little bit higher, but there's a base year, the economics may look better on one than the other if you're not familiar with how leases work. But one of the things, particularly if you've got clients, like Frank mentioned, that aren't involved in real estate all the time, and all they know is, well, they quoted me a certain rate per square foot. Well, you got to get into the whole economic deal to make sure that you're comparing apples to apples, because, you know, a stated rate with a base year or an expense stop, if you still use those, you know, is very different than one that's a more of a net lease. And so, again, like Frank said, sometimes